May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 199. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy, never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, oh, fix me on it. Mount of God's unchanging love. Hymn 199.
Let us read together from the Word of God in the book of Genesis, chapter 8. Book of Genesis, chapter 8. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged the fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated, and the ark rested in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the 1st day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the 1st month, the 1st day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the 7th, and in the 2nd month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breathe abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not see. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. Almighty and most gracious God, do we pray thee, have mercy upon us. Remember us not according to our sins deserve, but in wrath and judgment. Remember mercy. Grant, O Lord, that we may find grace to help in time of need. And Lord, we would humbly, we would seek, Lord, for help this evening. Pray that thou be with us by thy Spirit. Lord, do come and grant to us that sweet lifting up and that deliverance from all bondage and all corruption. Lord, we are prone to darkness and we feel the need of the Lord himself. We seek that thou wouldst remember us as we gather together, not only in thy house, but only around thy word, but around the mercy seat. We would plead the blood sprinkled mercy seat, where Jesus surely is to be found. Lord, who grant, we pray thee, that thou wilt remember us as Esther of old, and grant to us that golden sceptre of thy love, and raise us up, and do help us, that we humbly pray. We would plead the blood of Jesus, and seek, Lord, that we may know the blessing of it, the forgiveness in it, and we might know, Lord, also those new covenant blessings, all that come through Jesus' precious blood, and not from Sinai, and not from the law, but from Jesus. And we pray we may be able to lay hold upon thee, like that woman that was found at Jesus' feet, and Lord, there to find that thou dost know us as poor and as low as we are. We seek, Lord, that thou remember each one. Lord, do bless the things that have been attended to. Lord, we pray that thou bless the truth. Hear prayer. And grant, O Lord, that thou bless the Sabbath school here. And remember each cause represented. We ask and pray that thou come in the evening hour. Lord, it's the freshness we need. The dew upon the branch. We need thee, Lord, to grant life. And we pray that thou show us yon lovely man, the man Christ Jesus. The truth as it is in Jesus that was dead and now is risen. We pray, Lord, that thou grant to us that divine help to hear and speak of him. Lord, remember each one of us, the seekers. Lord, may it please thee that there may be many seekers, for there will be many finders. He has not said unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. Lord, we pray that there may be many that are quickened by thy Spirit and cannot rest until they are found amongst those that say we have found him. May it be a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Oh, we pray that thou wilt remember those that are heavy laden. Do grant the rest of the gospel. Those, Lord, that are sorely tempted, and to grant them the precious Jesus that has said, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. We pray, Lord, for those that are so heavy laden that they wonder if they can look up. May it please thee, Lord, to grant that grace of God and that deliverance too. We seek that thou remember the young. Lord, they're in our hearts. We often seek unto thee, Lord, that thou would bless them. Remember those that have gone astray. Lord, do bring them back. Or may there be choice, prodigals, or that are upon the shoulders of the good shepherd, sought out and are brought again. And Lord, that are brought to say, here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Lord, may we each be kept. Lord, it's not only just being kept outwardly, but inwardly. Oh, the proneness, Lord, to look and to turn aside. And Lord, to grant, we pray thee, the root of the matter, and thus may we be kept. Remember, Lord, this house of prayer. Return and do grant those goings in the tops of the mulberry trees, the hearts of the people. And grant, O Lord, we pray thee, that thou wilt crown thy gospel with that success which only can be found in Thee. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt remember each and every one that we think upon in the path of affliction, those in adversity, those that have lost loved ones, those, Lord, that feel the grasshopper to be a burden and that need Thee. Lord, as their thoughts often are towards the end of the journey, the Lord, do bless them and be with them. Remember, Lord, we pray Thee that those that may need some token for good, or we pray that Jesus may be that true token. And the loved ones away, and each one to on holiday, how we bring them unto Jesus. Lord, we pray for a continuation of Thy healing mercies. Much strength is needed, and we bless Thee and take courage, but pray that Thou wilt still grant that continuation. Thy loving kindness, oh, how great. We pray, Lord, for all in affliction, known and unknown. And do, Lord, remember our land in its sin and shame, more like unto those ancient cities, day by day, Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, we are reminded of the solemn state of our nation, more the solemn condition of our own hearts. We pray that Thou turn back the man of sin and grant, O Lord, that Thou wilt arise, and that Thou prevent him coming to these shores again. We seek, Lord, that Thou wilt remember our fellow creatures in other lands. Grant, O Lord, deliverances, but Lord, to also grant the knowledge of Jesus in those parts the land that are visited, and do grant that Thou wilt remember Thy one church wherever Thy word is faithfully proclaimed. That all we do humbly ask, Lord, that there may be some divine purpose, some divine appointment, Lord, some real blessing, something, Lord, that shall remain when we are poor and Thou art rich. Lord, we are perhaps more than ever needing Thy gracious help. But as one has said, it is laid upon one that is mighty. Lord, then ride prosperously. Come, Lord, into our midst. Grant nothing else than Christ, Him crucified. Grant Thy blessing upon us, and remember those that are recently married and others too. Lord, do be with them. Grant the convoy of Thy love. Remember them, Lord, and supply their every need according to Thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And again we pray for each one away, and seek that Thou would be mindful and grant a safe return. That, Lord, do hear us. We earnestly pray that there may be help and grace given. Leave us not, Lord, to beat the air. Neither, Lord, may the trumpet have an uncertain sound, but Lord, to come, we humbly pray where sinners are, and grant, Lord, that gospel blessings may spread around like a sweet, refreshing shower. We desire to lift up our hearts unto Thee for Thy many mercies. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Lord, we desire to own Thy sovereign goodness. We desire, Lord, to bless Thee, but do come and grant a thankful heart from sin set free. Do hear us in heaven, Thy dwelling place. Thou hearest, do forgive, and do be mindful of us. We plead, Lord, Thy sweet mercy. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 27. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let Thy bright beams arise. Dispel the darkness from our minds. And open all our eyes. Hymn 27.
Thank you.
As God may help me this evening, I will turn with you to the 8th chapter of Genesis, reading again verse 9. Genesis chapter 8, verse 9. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. This word has been somewhat on my mind, and I've felt very troubled in attempting to speak from it this evening, the thought of it, because I feel so constricted. I feel much in need of the heavenly dove, of whom we have sung, the blessed Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of the Living God. If he does not bring any tokens of the love of God or the tokens of the very person of the Lord, we are altogether undone. We may have the word, the day, the truth, the house. We may have many, many blessings in hand, but oh, if the Spirit of God does not come and rest upon the hearts of the Lord's people, then there is a most solemn realization of the state of man. But yet the Lord is pleased to promise the heavenly dove that where his people are found, the Lord will grant the preciousness, the application of the Lord Jesus. For where two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst, that is, by his Spirit. It must be so. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. Now, I had not thought for a moment until I stood up. The thought comes to my mind, what a solemn thing if the heavenly dove does not graciously, sweetly come where poor sinners are with the gospel of his grace, without the application of the truth, we are altogether short of the mark. But my thoughts were not at all centered upon that very solemn thought, that we may even gather together without the Spirit of God, but rather my thoughts went in some little way to this word in the Spirit of the Gospel in Genesis, this very evidence of the flood and the effect of it, God's judgment destroying the world, not one part of it unaffected. So it is, as sin has entered into the world and death by sin, the very evidence of God's word in the very first book speaks of the solemn judgments of God against thee. How many fly in the face of it? How many moths? Dear Noah, we may say, as he built the ark, and even more so when they entered in, but soon the floods came and the wrath of God was soon very evident. A God, friends, that cannot but mark iniquity. And a solemn thing it is to mark that sin. And in the chapters preceding our text, we see very clearly that God spared but a very, very small remnant. Only Noah remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, a beautiful type of Christ Jesus, the ark of grace. And only those that were found shut in, God shut them in, were those that were spared and were brought through every and all those solemn judgments, friends. That's the setting of our text. We may consider the increase of God's judgments. The waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And so it is in the iniquity that abounds in our land especially. But oh, to know it in some measure in our hearts, and to need the ark of God's grace. As the Lord may be pleased to grant the evidence of sin and the curse of it too, and the waters prevailed exceedingly, perhaps of some like that tonight, what shall they do? And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. And so it is in the hearts and consciences of those that God brings to a knowledge of the truth. I think the hymn writer says, and the flood increases fast. But some may know the hymn better than I. But so it is, isn't it? How the Lord is pleased to grant the knowledge of sin and the remedy of it. That's what we need. And such a remedy as will give glory to God. And the Lord, we read, smelled a sweet savour, or a savour of rest. As the Lord brought Noah and his dear ones from the ark, and there was a sweet savour. More than just the sacrifice, it was what God himself sweetly knew or revealed in the person of his own dear beloved Son. How high were the floods, how great the grace, how sure the salvation of the Lord. How wondrous his love. And he said, I will not again curse the ground anymore. For man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Something to think about, isn't it? Some of us know it. evil. Oh, an imagination of man's heart. Evil from his youth. You can't alter it, friend. God grant to us the deliverance from the awful curse of sin by the offering of Jesus Christ. Nothing else will suffice. And yet, we read of his dear covenant faithfulness. While the earth remaineth, seed time, and harvest, and cold, and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. You know, there's a spiritual application, isn't there? The seed time and harvest, God grants it in the churches. The seed sown and the harvest, that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And cold and heat, how the Lord's people feel that, don't they? Let the Lord leave them cold and hard. Destitute. And yet the Lord is pleased to grant the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Sweet truth, isn't it? And day and night shall not see. And they that have no changes, fear not God. But my thoughts really have gone somewhat to this text. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent a raven. Which went forth to and fro, till the waters were dried up from the earth. But how it could rest on anything. How it could feed upon all the dead things. How it, according to its nature, lived, survived, but fed on a dreadful, dead evidences of the flood. How vital the consideration, friends, that God sent it. Or permitted it, that there was no olive leaf in its mouth. You know, it's a very, very solemn thought, but we do need the Lord to grant to us the grace to be like this dove that found no rest for the soul of effort. According to its nature. And really, I want to be ever so careful, but in the preaching of the gospel, many that do preach the truth, many do set forth the difference between the evil and the good. Many set forth the solemn truth, and yet, friends, we need more than that. Those that are sent of God will bring something. Return unto God and the people with him. There'll be those that are sent of God to take the precious from the vile. Not just religion, but those that are sent of God that know law and gospel. And it brings me to this truth that There are those that long to receive something by the Holy Spirit, the heavenly dove, through the foolishness of preaching, to use the poorest. And those that hardly know what to say, but yet it is the word, isn't it, that God brings, and where he is pleased to send his word as life, that's the evidence, isn't it, of the dove that returns at length unto Noah. Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. I think it a type, the preaching of the gospel, and those that want those true tokens, that yes, there is mercy with the Lord, the curse removed, the Lord to ride upon the flood, to spare his dear people, to yet grant some tokens that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those that are brought to see some sweet evidence, yes. The Lord is pleased to bless his poor and afflicted, tried and troubled people. Friends, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. I mean the things which belong unto the Lord. How needful, if I may humbly say, I search my heart. What do we bring of the true gospel? What have we that the Lord has shown us, not from Sinai but to the dear wounds of Calvary flame? Really, it's only those things that belong to the sweet Spirit of God and the revealed truth in sinners' hearts, the life accompanied by the grace of God that ever gives glory to God. There's so many things, aren't there? We have to say, well, they're good in their part. There's so many things that are right to support so far, but some of us can't go with it all because there's confusion. Now God distinguished here between the raven and the dove. You may say one was black and one was white. Or the essence of it is the nature of it. And we must be ever so careful that we set forth in the preaching of God's word the discriminating effect of God's grace. The searching effect of it. And the Lord will grant those evidences as we think of that word. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Well, the word of God, friends, it separates between the precious and the vile. And we have to continue in the reproaches of the gospel and the truth of it. We would not, we dare not mix law and gospel. If you carefully follow it through the word, the Lord separates that which is legal, that which is of grace, that which is God honouring, and that which is flesh pleasing, between the flesh and the spirit. But yet the Lord is pleased to grant in his word those sweet tokens that he has a people that he will remember. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. It's ever so clear in the truth of it that the dove found no rest. Could not rest. Could not dwell. Could not be satisfied. Could not go with the raven. Could not go with all the dead things, but went against it. The dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. It's just been upon my mind a little, and I've had to leave the service. The thought of it, I'm so poor, I haven't got anything all set out, friends. I have to hope that God may grant something for each service. This is what just rests on my mind a little, but the dove. Beautiful type of the clean bird, of that soul that was blessed with the very nature, if I may say, of the Spirit of God. And so it is in the hearts and lives of God's people. They just cannot rest on everything. We've often thought of our young people. Would to God. You know, really, it's the very spirit, isn't it, of regeneration. The very spirit of being discontent for something. Not just discontent, but for something. For that principle that works in the heart as God implants that grain of faith. You know, faith is very certainly in the new birth, but not the full assurance of it, but the principle of it. It is that nature that God implants that seeks for life. Rests upon the things that God is pleased to make known. Perhaps you may open the Bible and it's a different book. If the Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Dove, reveals something in it you've never seen before, conveys it, a little sweet life, as it directs that little humble faith to the fountain of life, to the very person of the Lord Jesus. That's what faith does. It returns unto God in the principle of it, in the heart of God's people. May we know a sweet increase of it. And especially, faithfully, especially, I speak of our young people, that they may find no rest until Christ be their only rest. Indeed, it's not just the young, is it? It's all of us. No rest, but in Christ. You know, really, that's the sweet teaching of the Holy Spirit. It is. No rest until. No rest in place. It is sweetly made known, the gospel. But the dove found no rest for the soul of her foot. And I believe that the Lord sets it forth in the word of his grace as a sweet principle and something that we might consider by the Lord's help. What do we know of the principle of it? No rest for the soul of her foot until God appears. Really, it is a word that may be spoken of with regard to where we go, and what we do, the company we choose, and whether or not we are constrained to hear what the Lord may be pleased to speak. Stand upon my watch, tell and hear what God the Lord will speak. Let them not return again to folly. And then again, it does seem to me that this dove had no rest in itself, but only in the ark. You know, the true gospel is this. There is a time when the dove or the Spirit of God so works until there is no rest for the conscience, for the longing heart, for the seeking soul, until that object of that rest is found. Some say, well, just believe. Just be amongst those that oppose popery. Or just nominal. Faith, friends, that's not enough. No. We may indeed be able to discern what is right or wrong, but we need the Lord to make us right in our hearts, in our soul. Or else we can rest short of it all. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. It does seem to rest upon my mind that we may speak to those that almost despair, or that long the Lord to grant them the desire of their heart. The dove found no rest. The soul of her foot. You know, it's a sweet type of it, isn't it? No rest. So she returned. Oh, the spirit of it is found truly in the gospel, isn't it? We read of the prodigal, we often speak of it. Well, friends, here, another application, and she returned. The Lord apply it. There may be some that feel not to be like unto the people of God, like Ruth. But she returned, didn't she? And others, you know, they're brought to that place, like Ruth, to trust. To whose wings thou art come to trust. And she returned unto him and to the ark. Now, I make no apology that the ark is a type of Christ. And Noah, in this way, is a type of the Lord Jesus. Some have said to me, ah, but we read of the dove that yet return not again unto me anymore. So they thought to confound me. So it's not a valid part of the gospel, friends, it is. The Lord is pleased to make known here and there Christ in all the scriptures. So there are those places the Lord sweetly encourages his people by a word, but by something that sweetly leads them to the Lord Jesus. I've spoken recently on that word, and without controversy, great is the mystery of God in it. And she returned unto him into the ark. Now I want to very clearly say that I believe there is something that the Lord reveals in his word by way of direction. She returned unto him for the mercy. If there are those that are returning unto the Lord their Maker, not because they're so wise and so different that now they're gracious, no. Friends, it's far, far more than that. It's the spirit of it. Seeking and yet finding no rest until, and there's something very precious in this verse. So she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Very, very clearly, the word of God speaks of what the child of God is brought to know. There's not one good place in their hearts. All is defiled by sin. And there's not a perfect peace anywhere else but in the Lord Jesus. We may speak of it, friends, in the very truth of it. Men go here, go there for that perfect peace, don't they? And so they seek after it, but there's a worm at the root. Something will come. But oh, to know a little of that peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Indeed, the Lord will often overturn and bring his people to realize that this is not your rest. It is polluted. I thought of it as I came down the road, really not knowing what text to speak from. Feeling very miserable indeed. Here we have no continuing city, but we see one to come. You know, friends, some can rest on anything. Some can rest in religion. Not a child of God. His religion is of God, and it will bring him to that place, Lord. Grant me the very truth, whatever it costs. Whatever may be the cross, the loss, even the sorrows of the way, give me Christ, or else I die. Remember when this exercise about the ministry of the Lord laid it so much in my heart. I was brought to the place, Lord, whatever thou wilt use, bring to pass what is according to thy will, and leave me not. I had to be emptied out. I still am. she returned unto him into the ark. For the waters run the face of the whole earth. Oh, the face of the whole earth is a very solemn place, and it's a wilderness. Or the place where the Lord's people are strangers and pilgrims in the earth. How different the face, the glorious person, the nature, the very dove, anointed, blessed person of Christ. Anointed of God, set forth in the sweet truth of the gospel as the only salvation of the lost. And she returned unto him to the ark for the waters on the face of the whole earth. What a sweet word it is to those that would humbly seek unto their God to be found amongst that remnant, that return unto the Lord with all and everything that God sends to keep them at the throne of grace. The blood-stained mercy seat. Some of us feel our poverty. We have to ask the Lord to teach us how to pray. You know, the humble lifting up of the heart, even the falling of a tear, is that returning unto the Lord. Not because we feel it to be so, but the nature of grace working in a wretched sinner's heart. That which is good. Really, it's a new heart, isn't it? Not working on the old one. A new heart will I give you. That's the heart that the Lord is pleased to bless with the riches of the gospel. Oh, the old heart is still at enmity, isn't it? Still under the law, in one sense, and I speak very carefully. It's that going back, isn't it, of the old heart? And yet, the Lord is pleased to grant a new heart that cannot rest until the Lord be all in all. And she returned unto him into the ark, the waters from the face of the whole earth. Well, very, very quickly, I believe the gospel contained very much in the last part of our text. It's not sinners being so wise, so good. God forbid that we should give credence to it, that now they are well and truly near, if only they try a bit harder. You know, there's an awful solemn error abounds. Progressive sanctification, or that we're not as bad as we once were. Something wrong with that. We're worse than what we are. If God revealed to us his truth. So this word really sets forth the almighty grace of God. The glorious person of Christ, the ark of grace, the very heavenly Noah, if you like. The sweet truth of it is this: then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him, into the ark. In the margin, in the Hebrew, it says, caused her to come. And that's what the gospel reveals, isn't it? caused her to come, moved her in the ways of God, and brought her to seek a refuge that Market, this dove, could not enter into the ark. As good as the principle of cleanness was in it, yet it needed something more. And that's the spirit of the gospel. It's what Christ will do for the weary, wretched, sinners that despair of rest, that they shall ever be found among God's dear people, often tempted, but they're so near and yet so far, that their weakness, painfully known, the lack of grace, the need of more faith. For those that may say, well, now I shall perish with Jeremiah, for my hope is perished from the Lord. That dove that sought to return and sought to enter, but no. You know, it's a very principle of the gospel, isn't it? Then he. All of God himself. The sentiments of it. Were in the hearts of our friend. Hearts of our friend in the vestry, and it did me good. All of God, nothing else at all. Here. The Lord is pleased to put forth his almighty hand, not to consume, but to pull her, bring her unto him, into the ark. Beautiful type, the Lord Jesus. The weary, helpless dove that is about to perish. The cleanness of it does not suffice. The nature of it is not sufficient till the Lord himself is our sufficiency. But our sufficiency is of God. An all-sufficient arm. An all-sufficient grace, you know. It really sets before us the very beautiful truth of an all-sufficient Saviour to save the lost and those that are condemned, those that have no help in self, yet have sought it well. But, friends, may this glorious gospel ever be preached. He put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him, into the ark. Many, many thoughts upon it. Unto him in the ark. May the Lord forgive anything amiss. I felt so lame. The Lord knows, but there's a little sweetness in it. May God grant that salvation in Christ alone. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £640, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach again on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day, Dr. Sadler is expected to preach, and to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 1075. Thou hidden love of God, whose height, whose depth unfathomed no man knows, I see from far thy beauteous light, and in thee sigh for thy repose. My heart is pained, nor can it be at rest till I find rest in thee. Hymn 1075.
those unable to be here. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit of God rest and abide with you all. Amen.